Philippians chapter 4, reading from verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Amen. And may the Lord bless the reading of His Word. Verse 6 of Philippians 4 is a verse that's very well known to a lot of Christians. It's a verse that is often used in prayer meetings, in prayer talks, when there are exhortations about prayer. This is one of the go-to texts, because frankly, that's the subject of the text. It's prayer. Very simple. And the Lord sets forth prayer here, the activity of prayer, as an alternative to what we could do. See, there's two things that we can do when we are in any kind of difficulty or in any kind of a crisis. We can either be filled with worry and fret, and we can be like Martha, who was cumbered. That's the word that's used in the English. She was all het up. She was fretful. And we can take that line, we can go down that road and torment ourselves with care, anxious care. Or we can pray. Those are the two alternatives that are set before us when we're in a time of need. And the text begins this way: be careful for nothing. And I know I've said this many times before in dealing with this text and referring to this text, but it is important for us to understand that being careful is not a bad thing. That is, when you're going to cross the road and you look both ways and you're being careful in that respect, that's a good thing. And when you're working at home on something that could injure you, you need to be very careful. When you have a hammer in one hand and a nail in the other, you're going to drive that nail, you need to be careful. Otherwise, you might hit the wrong nail, your thumbnail, or your fingernail, and then that really hurts. That's not good. So being careful in that way is not wrong. It's actually right. But that's not what the word careful here signifies. When it says be careful for nothing, it literally means full of care. Fretful, filled with care, with your head full of worry about the matter. And so the Lord is saying to us here, be full of care for nothing. Don't allow anything to so fill your mind with anxiety that you're not able to function. Be full of care for nothing. And when it says nothing, it means a zero with the ring rubbed out. Nothing. Be careful, be full of care for nothing. But, and here's the alternative, in everything. That's the opposite of nothing, you could say, is everything. In everything, in every matter, in every circumstance, in every situation, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And here's what will happen. Instead of being filled with anxious care, it says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So this is the result of taking everything to God in prayer. The alternative is to be filled with anxious care, and you're not going to enjoy the peace of God that passes understanding. Your heart and mind is not going to be kept through Christ Jesus. So what we need to do is what the text tells us to do, and that is to pray. And we know that prayer, the activity of prayer, embraces every aspect of life. It covers every activity, the big things as well as the little things, and you might say the little things no less than the big things. Everything, just as the hymn puts it, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. If there's anything in your life that cannot be prayed about, I think you can be quite sure that that thing has no business being in your life. If you can't bring something before the Lord and make it a matter of prayer, should it even be a part of your life? So we don't need to be anxious about anything, but that's only going to happen if we make everything the subject of prayer. And when I say that you should pray about everything, I really mean that. Now, obviously, you don't need to ask the Lord if you should pray or not, because that's kind of a contradiction. You're already praying if you're saying, Lord, should I pray? Of course you don't say, should I pray? We know that we should pray. We don't need to ask the Lord if we should read His Word. We don't need to ask the Lord if we should come to His house, because the Bible tells us that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So all other things being equal, circumstances allowing it, no sickness intervening or providential circumstances, we should be under the sound of the Word of God when the doors are opened. That's the way the Bible speaks of these things. So there are things that you don't actually really need to pray about, and yet those activities should be done in a prayerful fashion, like reading the Word. I don't need to ask the Lord, should I read the Word? But when I read the Word, I should be praying about that. I should be asking the Lord, speak to me from your Word. Lord, don't let me just read this and then I forget all about what I've read. But Lord, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Help me to get some benefit from my Bible reading. Help me to remember your Word. Let me apply this to my life. Let it make a difference in my life. So we're praying about this activity. And various other things would be the same. Coming to the house of God, being under the sound of the Word, you should come in a prayerful spirit. You should be praying about that. Lord, speak to me today. Help the minister to bring forth things new and old out of the Word. Help him in his preparation. Help him in his preaching. And speak to my heart and the hearts of others through the Word. We're praying about everything. Now, in this text, it actually mentions several things that in a kind of a way mean the same thing, because they're just three words that are used for prayer. The first one is prayer, verse 6. Everything by prayer and supplication, that's the second word, and with thanksgiving, that's the third word. But all of those really are under the general heading of prayer. But if we were to try to differentiate between these three words and think about different aspects of what's being talked about here, we could speak of them in this way. First of all, you have prayer described. There is a description of prayer, and really that first word that's used there, in everything by prayer, there's a lot that's embraced under that word. It would suggest to us prayer as a habit. Now, I know that reading the Word and praying and coming to God's house shouldn't just be done out of habit. But nevertheless, we are creatures of habit. You know, every day we get up, every day we go to bed, late at night, hopefully not too late. Every day we eat. Every day we are involved in certain activities, and those we might call the habits of life. We're creatures of habit, and I guess the older you get, the more a creature of habit you become. You kind of tend to do the same things. I know in our home it's not exactly the same every week, but even when the meal plan is concerned, I pretty much know when we're going to eat certain things on certain days. Not always, but we're creatures of habit. And frankly, those are habits that I like. And there are habits that we need to get into spiritually. And one of the habits that should be in our lives, just as habitual as getting into bed at night and getting out of bed in the morning, is praying. It's your regular custom, right? Every day. To get down to get into bed, go to sleep, get up in the morning. That's a routine. And there's various other things that are probably in your life that are your routine. Things that belong to the cycle of daily habit. And so prayer is one of these. It relates to a habit in our lives, in everything by prayer. And we should be making it a rule of life to seek the blessing of God on everything, whether it be material or spiritual, if I could divide it up that way, whether it be what you might call sacred or secular, although it's true to say that everything in the Christian's life is sacred and not just secular. For instance, when you eat a meal, you might say, well, that's a secular activity. Well, not really, because we should be praying that the Lord will bless our food to our bodies, that the Lord will help us to be strengthened by it and sustained by it. And when we're going to eat, we should always offer prayer and thanksgiving to God for that. But whether it be an overtly spiritual activity or something you might call more material, we should be seeking the face of God in relation to that and seeking the guidance of God in everything, so that we can know and do the Lord's will all along the way in our lives. Every single day we should be about doing the will of God. I think some preachers give the impression betimes that doing the will of God is kind of a one-time event in your life. You know what I mean? When you're young, possibly, that you're a Christian, you get saved, and then you want to find out what the will of God is for your life, quote unquote. And then once you find what that is that you're to do, then that's the will of God. Well, actually, the Christian is to be seeking the will of God every single day that he lives. Because, frankly, the Lord has a will for you every day that you live. The things that you do, the places that you go, the people that you will meet. All of those are part of the will of God for you. And so, when we think about prayer, it's described here just in that simple word, prayer. But we should think of that as a habit and as a law of our existence each and every day. But as well as that, there's the word supplication. And if we want to differentiate that from prayer, we might say that this is not just talking about a description of prayer, but a designation of places. And by that I mean, when we're praying, when we are petitioning God, there are certain spheres that we are thinking about in our praying. Someone said in their devotions, when they wrote out requests, and I don't know if you do that or not, you can or cannot as you choose to have a prayer list, but this person in their devotions had several circles, a small circle, a bigger circle outside of that, and then a bigger circle again outside of that. And if you take those in reverse order, the biggest circle of all was the world in general. And you think about the work of God, missionaries, you think about the work of the Lord in general all over the world. So you have a worldwide scope in your praying. And then you bring it a bit closer, and you'll be thinking about your own nation and all that that entails. And then you bring it even closer, and you'll be referring to maybe your denomination or a group of churches, and then you bring it even closer again, and now there's more than three circles. Now you have your own church, and then you bring it in closer, and it's your immediate family circle and circle of influence, and you might even want to have a wee tiny circle, and you're inside of it. And you pray about that. You should pray for yourself. Now, if we take these just as three, I'm going to mention three, that involve supplication, places designated, I'll take it out to four. In the first place, there are the continents. And that's really another way of speaking about the world, the universal sphere. And I think that we should have a worldwide vision as God's people. We should be thinking about the continents of the world. That's what God thinks about. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And this is where we live in the world. And we should be seeking to, as best we can, by all the means that are within our power to influence this world of ours for good and for God. And one of the most powerful means at the Christian's disposal is prayer. Now, I know that there's a sense in which you could say, like the Lord Jesus, I pray not for the world. If you're praying that every single person on this planet will be converted, I don't believe there's any scriptural basis to pray that. But what I do know is that God has a design for this world. And there may be things that you hear about in various countries of the world, and you can pray about those things. You can pray about international problems and difficulties. For example, let me just pick this out. Did you ever think, with the head case that's in charge of North Korea, and the kind of madness that he represents, that you couldn't maybe pray for believers that are in North Korea? Because there are Christians in North Korea. I'm not going to give you a history lesson. You can look it all up for yourself. But when there was a division of that peninsula, North Korea and South Korea, when the communist North was in power up there, as it still is, there are families that were divided. There are still families today who they have, in some cases, siblings, but certainly cousins and other relatives who live on the other side of the border, and some of those people are saved people. There are Christians, loads of them, in South Korea. But there's a lot of Christians also in North Korea. Would we ever think about, and I'm speaking to my own heart, would we ever think to pray, Lord, bless your people in North Korea. Give them freedom. Bring about the downfall of that dictator. And pray that the Lord would give blessing to his people in North Korea. Maybe the Lord would impress your heart about some other country of the world or some other conflict. Someone said, have you ever thought of using your newspaper as a prayer book? Well, maybe you don't get the newspaper, but you certainly could go on the internet and you could find things there to pray about. We should do that. Our praying is to include everything. But if we bring this in a bit closer, there are the continents of the world. There's the country in which we live. Now, sometimes we will sing, won't we? God bless America, land that I love. This is a great country. It has been a great country. God has been good to this nation. And I know that as we look at America tonight, we could say it doesn't deserve anything but wrath. That's all it deserves. Because this nation has turned away from God, largely. And we could say, well, the awful things that are taking place in this country, the scourge of abortion and other wickedness that's too wicked even to speak about, it doesn't deserve anything but wrath. But yet, God's people are in this country. And I don't believe the Lord is finished with this nation. So, could we not pray for this nation? We should. We ought to. We ought to pray for the cause of God in this land. We ought to pray for the leaders of this nation. Pray for the president. Pray for those that are in authority. Isn't this what the Bible tells us that we are to do? 1 Timothy chapter 2, you look at the first couple of verses, and it's clear what the will of God is for us as his people. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. It means all kinds of men. For kings and for all that are in authority. That, in order that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. So it's a good thing to pray for your leaders. And the condition of our nation definitely calls for prayer warriors. The devil's busy in this land. No question about it. We should be praying against his work. We should be praying against the evil that preponderates in this land. It would be wrong for us to leave out our own country from our praying when the Lord said, in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. Pray for the continents of the world. Pray for the country in which you live. Pray for the church of which you are a part. And indeed, the church universal, the church visible on the earth, that includes far more than just our own church or churches. Everything. Wouldn't it be right to include in our praying the church? Praying for the Lord's work to prosper across this world and across this nation. Pray for our ministers. Pray for our seminary. Pray for our elders. Pray for our people. In everything, by prayer and supplication, pray for an increase in the work of God here. Pray the Lord will save souls. Pray the Lord will bring in Christians. That the Lord will bless among us those who are already in our church. Never mind those that may yet come into the church. Let's pray for those that are already part of the work of God. That the Lord would bless them and that the Lord would do them good. And then I said there was a fourth one. We'll bring that in to what I would call the circle. And we'll put ourselves in the circle. We'll not make it as tiny as the small one with just ourselves, but we'll pray for our own community perhaps, but definitely our own family circles. Isn't prayer something that we ought to be engaged in for our families? We ought to pray for our loved ones. Pray for one another, but pray for those in our family circle who are already the Lord's, that the Lord will bless them and guide them and direct them, and pray for those that are not the Lord's. If we have children or grandchildren even that are not saved, that we should be praying that the Lord will save them. Everything we are to take to God in prayer. The hymn writer said, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." And everything would include a whole range of different places that I've just designated. Prayer is described, places are designated, and then we might talk about a precision in details. There are some precise details when we pray. When we get down to individual requests, and that's really what the last part of this verse refers to. We're to do what we do in prayer with thanksgiving. There's always to be thanksgiving. There's to be a thankfulness as we pray, even when we're making requests, thanking the Lord for what He's done in the past, and even thanking the Lord for what He will yet do. We do that in faith, don't we? We say, "Lord, thank You for the requests that You're going to give us." When I was a kid, we were taught to be thankful for the food we were about to receive. We hadn't eaten it yet, but we were to be thankful for it, even though we hadn't eaten it. We can certainly thank the Lord for things that we haven't received yet by way of answers. But let your requests be made known unto God. Obviously, the Lord already knows what our needs are, and He knows what our requests are going to be. But we're still to make those requests. And so we are encouraged to break up our praying into details. And let me show you this from the New Testament, just in a couple of portions. In Luke chapter 11, you have a very interesting scripture where, first of all, the Lord is praying. And as He's praying, the disciples have been watching Him and have been really convicted, I think, about their own prayer lives as they've watched Him. And so verse 1 says, "And it came to pass that as He, Christ, was praying in a certain place, when He ceased, one of His disciples said unto Him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." And as I've often thought, this is actually a prayer in itself. Lord, teach us to pray is a prayer. You're praying that the Lord will help you to learn how to pray. Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And that's what the Lord did. He taught them to pray. Now then, you come down to verse 9. "And the Lord said, I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." Then He says this, "If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone?" And so on. Now, if you go back to the actual prayer that the Lord taught His people to pray in verse 3, the first request is, give us day by day, it means daily, or for the day, our daily bread. So there we are, we're asking the Lord concerning our food. But then you'll see that this is actually broken up into detail. In verse number 11, he mentions bread, but then he mentions a fish. And then he mentions in verse 12, an egg. So here are actual details about the daily bread, about the daily food. That's how you can really look upon the words in verse 3. It's not just give us day by day loaves of bread. It's our daily food, our daily provisions, our daily food in that broad sense, our daily bread. But then he breaks it down into specific requests in verse 11. Bread, fish, and verse 12, an egg. So there's detail. And therefore, I would say we should be dealing with God in our praying with details. Bring actual specific things to the Lord in prayer. It tells us in Luke chapter 12 and verse 6, are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? Not one single sparrow. Now compare that with Matthew chapter 10 and verse 29. And there the Lord says, are not 2 sparrows sold for 1 farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? Then he says in the next verse, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Now notice, it's not merely hair in general, but hairs in detail. In other words, each individual hair. Now how do we apply that? Whenever we pray, even if we're speaking to the Lord about the ordinary items of our daily lives, small things of personal need, we can bring those things before the Lord individually. The Lord is interested in the details of your life. I don't think there's anything that you could say, well, that's too small to bring to the Lord. I'll not bother praying about that. No, you should. You should pray about everything. Bring all the details to the Lord. And it's interesting when we read in the Old Testament about the bad news that came to the Lord's servant about what was going to happen in Judah. You remember he got a letter from Sennacherib. And what did he do with that letter? It said he spread it out before the Lord. And actually, what that phrase means is that he actually went over each detail in that letter and brought it to the Lord in prayer. He brought everything that was in that letter. It was a threatening letter. It was an evil letter, but he brought every word of it to God in prayer. He spread it out before the Lord. That's how we're to pray. The Lord is interested in the little things. He's interested in the big things. And so this is the scope of our praying. Everything. Everything. It's a good thing when you don't keep secrets from your spouse. That's what I was always told. And there are husbands and wives, thankfully, who can boast about the fact that they tell each other everything. And they talk over everything together. And that's a good thing. That is one of the secrets to a happy marriage, I believe. That'll bring about a good relationship. You talk about everything together. Now, that doesn't mean you always agree on everything. Sometimes we disagree about what place we want to have breakfast or lunch at. What do you feel like eating today? I don't fancy that. Well, I would rather have this. And you work it out. You go to a separate restaurant. No, you go together. You go together to a place and you find something that you can eat, right? That's what you do. You work it out. But I'm saying that the secret to a good relationship is to tell each other everything and talk over everything together and work everything out together. Now, can we not do that with the Lord in prayer? That's the secret to a good relationship with God, is to talk over everything with Him. Bring it to the Lord, everything. Lord, here's my day. I've got this to do today, and here's all the details. I have my diary. I know where I'm going to be at 11 o'clock, possibly, and 1 o'clock, and so on. And what do? I bring that before the Lord, and I pray about it. And as I'm going through the day, I'm praying about it. I've had people ask me in my ministry, Pastor, how long should I spend in prayer? And that's really difficult to answer. Because all of our circumstances are different. And not everybody, frankly, is able to say, well, I'm just going to go up to my room and spend 4 hours in prayer. They're just not going to be able to do that, especially if you're at your place of employment. That's not going to happen. Here's the thing. Spurgeon used to say, speaking of his own life, I seldom spend more than 15 minutes in prayer, but I seldom go 15 minutes in my day without praying. In other words, prayer is the cultivation of a relationship. Now, you imagine back to the husband and wife analogy, or even just friends, and you go for a walk. Now, is it all like one person constantly talking and the other one listening? Well, hopefully not. Hopefully, each person gets an opportunity to say something, and so while the one person's talking, the other one's listening. And you're having this conversation back and forth as you walk along. And it might be, and it should probably be, if you're going to give your voice and your throat a rest, that there's actually times that you're walking along and neither one is really saying anything. But you're just in each other's company. Now apply that to prayer. I come before the Lord with my Bible open, and I'm maybe not saying a whole lot to the Lord in prayer, but I'm reading His Word and He's speaking to me. And then something comes up in the reading that suggests a matter that I should pray about. And it really speaks to my heart. And I'll say, well, Lord, and then I pray about that I've just read. So there's this two-way conversation going on. And sometimes it'll just be a matter of I'm sitting there reading the Word. I'm not really saying anything, but the Lord's speaking to me through His Word. And we're just enjoying the Lord's company. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Prayerfulness, it goes without saying, should be the experience of our daily habit. We are to be men and women of prayer. Someone said it is as natural to the Christian to pray as it is for the living human being to breathe. And prayer is the Christian's native breath. May the Lord help us to pray, and even tonight, not to consider that anything would be too insignificant or too small to bring to the Lord. Let us not be full of care about anything, but rather in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known unto God, and His promise that the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.